Let's put that all on hold for now, since it is Thursday. It is the final segment of Crunch Time, which means it's time for this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's a mid-July lightning round, which means some really silly sports talk is going round. Martin Short and Steve Martin are coming to town because it's the lightning round.
Oh, D plus. D plus effort.
I couldn't hear the music. I don't know what the hell happened.
You were off key.
I was flat.
College Game Day is the premier show for college football fans to watch on TV or go to in person. Their week one game is going to be Oregon-Auburn. The two teams are playing in Arlington at Jerry's World, but for some reason, Game Day is going to be in Fort Worth for that day, besides the point. With their week one appearance, Oregon will now have been on Game Day 25 times, the most in the Pac-12, passing USC, with whom Oregon had been tied with. Oregon made their first appearance in 1998 when they played at UCLA and didn't host until 2000. Actually, fun fact, those two appearances were the first two appearances by colleges on the West Coast since the show began going on the road in 1993. And despite a 15-year head start by the least coast schools, Oregon is now ninth all-time in appearances and seventh for times hosted, with now 10 times hosting. Depending on how the rest of the season goes, Oregon could have about three more games that could be fun to have on game day, including the November 2nd matchup against USC. USC also have 3 to 4 games themselves that could put them on game day. So what percent chance do you give Oregon still being first in the Pac-12 for college game day appearances at the end of the season?
The end of the year. So this is going to be 10 for them?
This is going to be, their 25th appearance. If they host any, it'll be their 11th hosting time. So they've been on 25.
And what's USC?
24. So they got a one-game head start to start off the season.
Yeah, so the question is, will they be ahead at the end of the year?
Yes.
I don't trust USC. I'm not sure I trust Oregon. So I'm going to take the team on the lead. So I'm going to say 75%.
There you go. Blake Bryce Brooks Blake Bro Koepka is at it again. The dude who won't play practice rounds or try in any other golf tournament if it's not a major is once again top five in a major round after his round one score of a 68 or 3 under at Royal Portrush. He's two back of John Rahm at the time when I was writing this, who was in first, and tied with 12 others at 3 under, including Sergio Garcia, Tommy Fleetwood, Webb Simpson, and Tony Finau. Bryce tees off at midnight for round two out here on the best coast. It's going to be raining most of the weekend, with the earlier groups getting slightly more of a rest from the rain than the later ones. And if anyone isn't soaked thoroughly to the bone and they make the cut come Saturday, there will be a bit of a break. What percent chance do you give Bryce Koepka winning the Open Championship?
Winning the British Open.
Championship golfer.
You know, back in the day, you would have to give Tiger 50-50. He ain't Tiger quite yet. And this course seems to suit his game. He's kind of playing in a tunnel. I'll give him a 20% chance here. I'll give him a 1-in-5 shot.
Fair enough. It's probably getting a little too much for most of you listeners out there, but I know I'm not the only Giants fan in town, and the handful of us are also probably obsessing over the Giants in Madison Bumgarner. Giants scored another 11 runs yesterday. They have won 5 in a row and have moved themselves into third place in the NL West and are within 3 games of the second wild card. I was panicked 2 weeks ago that Mad Bum and Will Smith were both going to be traded during the All-Star break and that the tank would be on and I'd have to turn my attention not to 2020 but to 2021 and beyond. Instead, they're sitting here in the playoff hunt and could reasonably be non-sellers at the deadline. Mad Bum starts tonight against the Mets, then next Wednesday against the Cubs. Both of those games are at home, and is finaled for one more start the day before the deadline in Philly. Nothing is guaranteed. Bum could be traded the second he's taken out of tonight's game, for all that matters, or he could stay in the city for the long term if he wants to sign an extension and compete with this team. I don't know anything, mostly because the experts also don't know anything and are reporting both sides of the story every single time I read a tweet or a story about them. So, Mad Bum will make over under 1.5 more starts for the Giants before the trade deadline.
Whoa. I still think that unless they get overwhelmed, They're not going to give up on this guy just yet, so I'm going to say over.
All right. While the National League is turning into a fun disaster with literally everyone but the Marlins in the playoffs race, the American League is very top-heavy. This isn't going to be about the top-heavy teams. It's about the bottom feeders. The four worst teams in the American League by losses are Baltimore, Kansas City, Detroit, and Toronto, who all have at least 61 losses through anywhere between 91 and 97 games played. Miami is also running away with the worst of the worst in the National League with 58 losses through 93 games. And if you do some math, you realize that these five teams are now on pace to lose 100 games. Turns out this would also be a Major League Baseball first, as that would be the most teams to ever lose 100 games in one season. The record was set in 2002 when Milwaukee, Kansas City, Detroit, and Tampa Bay all lost 100 games, and the Royals snuck into that club by getting swept in the final series of the year. A lot can happen for these bad teams. They can run into a hot streak for a week. They could sell off all their best talent and then fall into an 110-plus loss team really quick. Not to mention the Mariners are right on the cusp of 100 losses, and any of the NL teams that are at the bottom of the playoff race could sell off and fall into this 100-loss club as well. So there will be over, under 3.5 teams that lose 100 games this year.
So right now it's Toronto, Baltimore, KC, Detroit, the Marlins, and what about the Mariners?
Mariners are right, technically not on pace for 100, but they are right there.
All right. 3.5?
3.5.
Oh, I love that bet. Over. Easy. Is that a wrap?
We're done.
Done. By the way, the thing I admire about the Marlins is because it's so lopsided and the American League has five of the six worst, they're 8 games worse than the next worst, the Mets. So they're comfy cozy. All right. We'll take a break. We'll start off the 4 o'clock hour with Aaron Fentress of The What? The Athletic, and my conversation with Steve Martin and Martin Short coming up at the bottom of the 4 o'clock hour on 95.3, The Score.
In my opinion, that sucked.